Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daniel Day Podcast, a podcast all about discipleship and leadership. I'm Daniel Day, your host. Welcome to the program. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Daniel Day, your host, and I'd like to introduce to you some friends of mine. They are apostolic leaders. They are church planters. They are traveling evangelists and speakers, authors, you name it. They've probably done it in ministry as a leadership couple, and they have become friends of mine. Pastors Bill and Sharon Motley, friends, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, we're honored to be here. Praise Amen. God. It's going to be good. It's going to be good today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. We're looking forward to the next few moments.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know how busy both of you must be, so we're grateful. As we begin, take us to the Lord, Pastor Bill and Sharon, to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask his blessing on our conversation.
Amen. I believe the next few moments are God moments for you. So let's pray right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we decree and declare for everyone watching today, every pastor watching today, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. Let them see exactly what they need to see. Let their vision be expanded. Let their dreams become a reality. And Lord, answer questions by the Spirit of God that they need answered at this season in their life, in their ministry, and in their marriage. We thank you for it, and we expect it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just thank you that every woman that's watching today, Father, she'll know her purpose, her plan, God, what her position is. And Father, today we just ask for a complete understanding according to your word, not something we've made up, not something we've imagined, but according to your word. And all that we do today, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, friends, for praying. Hey, listen, if you are just hopping on to this live broadcast, would you please do us a favor? Like the video and heart the video and comment on the video. Let us know where you're watching from and interact with us as we begin our conversation on leadership as a married couple. I am so excited to hear what the Motleys have to say on this subject, because they do life and they do ministry side by side. Both are gifted communicators and writers. Both have been doing ministry for many, many years. They have successfully parented their children and raised up a mighty church for the Lord. And they are advancing the kingdom of God everywhere they go, and they do it together. And that is a very special thing that I really look forward to having a conversation around. So, Pastor Bill, this is your first time on the podcast. Yes. This is Pastor Sharon's second time. Better introduce yourself. Tell us about your church, your ministry, and your marriage in leadership.
Well, I'm Bill Motley. This is my wife, Sharon Motley. God called us together, and we're here in Danville, Virginia. We go everywhere, but this is home base. We started a Word of Faith, powerful Holy Ghost church 32 years ago. We've actually been married. This is our 37th year. We've actually been in ministry ever since we said I do, you know, but we've been pastoring 32 years, a church of all colors, of all races, of all ethnic groups. I wanted a church that looks like heaven, and God has given us a church that looks like heaven. And we've been walking by faith and not by sight for all these years. God has been so faithful. We've started one other church in another city. We're getting ready to plant another church in another city. We see churches all up and down the East Coast. I actually have a dream to start churches over in other nations. And so God has expanded. We thank God for everything. It's all about God. And I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't know Jesus than I knew Noah, you know, and growing up in a Christian home don't make you a Christian. And, but I had an experience with the Lord. I got out into the world. I got a college degree. I got everything I thought you're supposed to have. And yet I was empty, because without Jesus, you don't have anything. But I had a supernatural experience with the Lord back in 1984. Some of you were not born in 1984. Hallelujah. But it changed everything.
I was two.
I,
I,
You was two. Okay. That's two. All we want to hear from you. We don't need to hear any more from you today. Hallelujah. But you know, I was going to start my own business. I knew what I wanted to do in life, but the Lord changed everything. And then a year later, I met this beautiful lady. And I was raised Baptist. I mean, in fact, let me go further. I was raised dead Baptist. There are some great Baptists. There's some on fire Baptists. That wasn't us. Hallelujah. We didn't. If you raised your hand in our church, they escorted you out. Oh, and my wife was raised Pentecostal. But I was so hungry for God.
You don't say.
So hungry for the word of God. We met a man named Kenneth Copeland back in 1984 that changed everything. And so we're just excited. God has just been increasing us more and more. And so that's kind of says a lot in a few words.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Sharon, there may be some folks watching that are just getting to meet you as well. Take a moment, introduce yourself as well.
Well, my husband says I was born saved. I don't believe that.
I was born heathen. She was born saved.
But I've been saved right a little over 40 years. I know I don't look that old. Hallelujah. I'm almost 59, but I've been serving the Lord many, many years. Grew up Church of God. Love my Pentecostal background. But I got out in the world for about a year or so. But you know, mamas and grandmas praying brought me back to the Lord. And not long after that, I met this, chunk of change and God put us together and, we have four beautiful children, all serving in the ministry. And for that, we're humbly grateful. And, we've had a lot of ups and downs, Pastor, but, you know, for the most part, it's up in Jesus and we're, setting on go all the time.
That's great. Today's topic is unique. I don't know that I've heard a podcast on it, but how to have a successful marriage in ministry. Many pastors, their spouses are not necessarily called to have an upfront ministry with their spouse, and that's fine. Sometimes God calls them to a supportive role, and that's wonderful. However, the call that's on your marriage is to work in tandem. You're both up front. You're both leading together. And that's interesting to me on a personal level, because that's how my wife and I lead. My wife's office is right across the hall from mine. We'll readily admit that could not do what I do without her. She is far more gifted in so many ways than I am. Love her dearly, would not want to do ministry without her. And I think that's how you two feel about each other. And so since you've been doing it for so long, I think that it would behoove us younger folks in ministry to listen to your wisdom on the subject of how to have a successful marriage and a successful leadership calling in the church or in the kingdom of God. And so I want to turn you loose, and you guys can just kind of play off of each other's energy as you do, and, just weigh in on this subject on how to do this right. Go.
Ladies first.
Pastor, we, there's so much in that one statement, and the only thing I know to do is just kind of take you back and walk you through what happened with us. And when we became married, we went to our local church, and within like weeks, they said our Sunday school teachers, they had three of them. One of them was out sick. One of them was out with the surgery, and one of them was out working. And would you guys teach Sunday school class? And so we decided at that point, because both of us were full of the word, that we would take turns or we would teach together. And Pastor, that Sunday school class had about five when we started. And when they took it back, we had chairs not only fill the room, but they were sitting outside the room, over 30 people within just 2 or 3 months. And we realized that there was a gift and a call there to teach the word of God. But we didn't, you know, I didn't override him. He didn't override me. We would talk about what we were teaching, and then we would work together.
Yeah. Well, the word says we're one. And I think it's real important that you understand that. That's big, because it's not her and me. We're one. But something I've really had in my spirit a lot lately, I think the one big important key is the man has to be strong in the Lord, in his own self, and the wife has to be strong in the Lord in her own self. She doesn't complete me. I hear this said a lot about, well, you know, my wife completes me or my husband. No, the Lord completes me.
That's good.
See,
that's
we got good. People getting married that are incomplete.
I mean, come on, you know,
and yeah. they're looking for the they're looking to for the spouse happy. To complete. Yeah. No, I was complete when I met her. Now, I will admit I'm a lot better with her than I was without her, but I don't put pressure on her to complete me. I don't go to my wife, oh, would you pray for me? I have a prayer life. Now, there's times we'll come together and pray, but I already know the Lord. I already have a good relationship with Him. And so what that does, we both bring to the table strength. I'm not looking for her to make me a success, and she's not looking for me. Now, I owe her my ministry. There's no way, I like what you said, Pastor. There's no way I could be where I am right now without the impartation that I've received from walking with a woman of faith. See, I don't want to do all the talking. You get me started.
Please,
you got to give me the cut. but we don't, now, let me say that I think this is powerful. I think this is important. We don't live what we preach. We preach what we live. There's a lot of people trying to live what they preach. No, see, we live this. We live it by faith.
Every day.
We live the word of God. And then that's how I've had pastors ask me, how do you get a message? Well, it's just what I live every day. It's what I'm experiencing every day. I don't go to the Bible to find a sermon. Hallelujah. I live a sermon. We live a sermon. And then that's what we preach. And so I think that important thing about us being complete in ourselves, yeah. I think that's a major key in marriage and ministry.
And being happy. You know, you hear a lot of people say, Pastor, I just need to find somebody to make me happy.
Yeah.
The only person that's going to make you happy is Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start looking for happiness, you're going to go down a whole bunch of wrong roads. And
yeah.
I do a lot of marriage counseling. I'm like, stop that. You know, your joy, your peace, your happiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, things we can do together that are happy things. But I don't say, you got to make me happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy in Him. And we are, and we're just going to keep going back. We are one in the Spirit. And we have to flow that way. And as a woman, and Pastor, whenever you want to interrupt us or ask us a question, because you done got us on a topic, we might
this
be
is what
talking.
You get for turning us. We're the Motley Crew. And when you turn the Motley Crew loose, this is what
we may just keep talking. But we operate individually, but we operate as one. And so we talk about everything. We're best friends. I don't have another best friend that I tell all my secrets to or that I run to. That can be very dangerous in a ministry. And sure, there's always somebody as a woman you would like to talk to. Always talk upward. Find a spiritual mother. Find someone who can help you, not someone who can just listen to you.
Right.
You know, we all have challenges. We all have hiccups. We all have things we have to go through. But overall, He's my best friend. Like if I'm meditating on something or I need advice about something, but not only is He my best friend, Pastor, He's also my pastor. And, you know, I could spend a whole 30 minutes and I don't want to do that on just submission. You know, the Bible says, you brought this up the other day. The Bible says we submit
to each other,
you know, to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't demand her. Oh, you got to submit to me because I'm the head. No. We are in covenant together. It's a blood covenant and we've come together. And so we submit to one another. I think a key, and you probably don't know this lady, but there's a great singer that's in heaven now named Aretha Franklin. Do you know who Aretha Franklin is?
Oh, yeah, we go way back. We go way back. Sure.
Your audience is so young, but Aretha Franklin did a song probably before I was born called R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And I believe respect is one of the major keys in ministry. I believe honor and respect is one of the major keys in marriage. And see, I respect her. I respect the anointing that's on her life. God used, we flow in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, we flow in all these things, but we do it together. We're not in competition. And I see pastors that, listen, I got to tell you this really quick. Years ago, one of the pastors that was under us, we knew his wife had an anointing on her. I mean, she would get up and do an announcement. There was an anointing on the announcement. So I kept encouraging him. She needs to preach. You need to let her preach on a Sunday morning. So finally, after a tug of war on a Sunday morning, he let his wife preach. And so he called me on Monday after that Sunday. He was in a deep depression. I said, Pastor, what? He said, man, I need you to pray for me. I said, what's wrong? I said, did you let your wife? Oh, yeah, I let her preach. I said, well, how was it? He said, they like her better than they like me. She was more anointing than I've ever been. I said, well, praise God, go on a sabbatical and turn your wife loose and your church will probably grow 100-fold. So yeah. I think it's a lot about respecting each other. And she's got fans and I got fans. There's people in the church, believe it or not, there's some folks that actually like me. And there's a lot of folks that like her. And so, but the bottom line, we're all come together. And we just take our hands off the wheel and let God be God. And we preach and we kind of go back and she'll preach a Sunday. I'll preach the next Sunday. We'll kind of go back and forth. Then she'll be in a series. She may preach 3 Sundays in a row. I may do that. But see, you have to be secure.
Yeah.
You have to be secure in who you are.
I think that's a big word, security.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a competition. I'm called to the nations. He knows that.
That's right.
He's called to be a sender, but I'm called to go.
I've told her I've lost nothing in Africa. Now, I love Africa, but I haven't lost anything there. She goes all over the world.
And that's okay. I mean, his passion is leadership, helping pastors, yeah. You know, and so you have to be and become secure in who you are.
There's
Sundays we get up to minister to people and we could go to one person and he has half the word and I have the other half. Then there are Sundays I have absolutely nothing and he's given prophecies to 10 people. That doesn't intimidate me or vice versa. And so, Pastor, we just have to be in a position. Walk in your call, do your thing, let them do their thing and be at peace with it. Because if it comes a competition, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah. So what I would love for you to do is to speak to the young couple, or maybe they're not so young. I'm not so concerned about their age, but they're in ministry and maybe they are in full agreement with all that you've just said. That the husband and the wife have a unique role. They're both equally important. They're both equally needed in the relationship. While you are secure in your own walk with God, while you don't need another person to complete you, and they're walking in agreement with what you've said, and that you complement one another and you support one another, respect one another, and so forth. But maybe there's somebody watching or listening today that they were told that maybe it's a lady, and that's kind of what I feel in my spirit. Maybe it's a lady who she was told or maybe raised in a faith movement or a church movement, I should say, that kept women suppressed, kept women on the sidelines. Oh, we'll let you teach a Sunday school. We'll let you teach a ladies group. We'll let you run the nursery. But we're not going to let you have the platform. But there's giftings in her. There's reservoirs of anointing that have yet to pour forth, and they need somebody to just release them. Pastor Sharon, would you do that right now? Just release them.
Yes, brother. Amen. So let me go back. I was in college, and I had never heard this scripture taught. I went to Eastern Mennonite University. And I love the Mennonites. If you know much about them, their women are very suppressed, but here I am sitting in a Bible college and, we're doing New Testament survey and he begins to teach on the scripture where Paul said, let the women keep silent in the church. If you have a question, ask your husband at home. And he began to teach us and break that scripture down. And so if you understand culture and you understand that in ancient Bible days, the women didn't go to church at all. The men went. So the men would then go home and teach their wives and their wives had all these questions. Well, finally, you know, as time had it, they allowed the wives to come to church, but the men sat up front, the women sat in the back. And because the women didn't understand protocol, they didn't understand church lingo or church, etiquette. The preacher would say something and the wife, because she was used to asking her husband, would then yell out and say, hey, John, what does he mean by that? And Paul simply is saying to them, look, don't do that. Don't yell out questions in the middle of church service. Ask your husbands at home. And so we take that scripture and men, unfortunately, and Pastor, I can tell you the persecution, the ridicule, men in my area getting on TV talking about me, behind my back, stabbing me, and then ultimately turning against him because he led a woman in the pulpit.
That's right.
Has been unbelievable. We're right in the middle of the Bible Belt. I say, you know, where the belt sticks through, that's where we are, because it's a constant jab and a constant poke. But you know, when you understand that scripture and you understand what Paul was talking about, and then Paul goes on to say, I think it, Paul says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, for one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, God don't sit up on the throne and say, excuse me, I'm going to answer John's prayer request before I answer Susie's, because John is more important than Susie. And Pastor, I just had to learn, because I mean, at the very beginning, I mean, I got comments like, you're Tammy Faye, you know, you need to sit down, shut up, be quiet. You're usurping authority over your husband, you know, and I'm very strong, Pastor Daniel, but my husband is stronger. Sometimes his quietness in general settings is mistaken for weakness. And I'm like, oh no, you don't want to, I call him a gentle lion. You come against the word, or you say something against the word, you're going to see the lion rise up. You come against his kids, God help us. You know, the room better clear. Yeah, you're exactly right. Bam, bam, you know, very strong. And so a lot of times people have mistaken, and maybe you're a woman watching me right now, and that's what you've heard, and that's what it's been mistaken. And so you've crawled back in the hole. And I just want to encourage you today. There's a gift in your life, a call. Amen. Look at the women in the Old Testament, prophetess Deborah. I mean, he came to her and said, I'm not going to go to battle unless you go with me. I'm not going to do it, Barak. I'm not going to do it unless you say it. Well, what are you saying, prophetess woman of God? And then it ended up, Sisera was killed by Jael, who once again was a woman. Look at what God did in Esther. Look what God did in Naomi and Ruth. And I could just go on and on. There's women, Phoebe in the New Testament. And I mean, we could just go on and on. I did a whole message one day about women of faith in the Bible that had been overlooked, ignored, and not even mentioned. And so I just want to encourage you right now, if you're listening, there's a gift in you, a call in you. Once, take a step, just do something. Just ask your husband, hey, can I do announcements? I mean, start somewhere. Hey, honey, can I open up church service? Hey, honey, can I just get up and exhort people? I mean, whatever it is, start somewhere, and then don't listen to the persecution. Because, Pastor, we would have men of God come up to us at Starbucks. Hey, Bill. Hey, Sharon. And then he would get on TV and all but call my name. Yep. And I told Pastor Bill, I said, I'm done with that. I said, if he comes up and wants to talk to you, good. I'm not doing this anymore. Don't be two-faced. If you don't like me, just don't like me. But I'm not a two-faced person. And so, you know, I'm strong in how I feel. I'm strong in what I believe. And Pastor Daniel, it's taken years, but now I have so many people in my city who respect me, love me. I walked into Starbucks yesterday, Saturday, and the worker behind the desk said, hey, Pastor Sharon. I don't even know who she is. And I'm like, hey, God bless you. You know, so just be strong. You know, I never asked to be called pastor. No, you know,
I asked for you.
Will you say that?
When we started the church, I wanted my wife respected just as much as me. And so I made it, you know, leaders lead. Hallelujah. That's a word for you. Leaders lead. Leaders don't wait for somebody else to lead. And so I made it clear in our whole ministry, we started with 5 people in a living room. Just, the Bible said, despise not that they have small beginnings. That's a word for somebody. It's not bad to start small, but you shouldn't be staying small.
Yeah.
But we made our culture of our church from the very beginning was, I'm Pastor Bill, she's Pastor Sharon. And so men, you have to set that culture. And we need to be empowering women. You know, John Bevere told me one time, he said, the churches that are empowering their young people and women are the most explosive growing churches all over the world. Man, you just said it, the women that God has anointed. I know some women, they're a lot more anointed than men are. And I think that's why some of the men have an issue with it. But I think the husband has to empower their wife. And listen, you said that about persecution. Jesus said with the hundredfold return, we all want to preach about the hundredfold return. There's also a hundredfold persecution. And because when you flow like we do, and I don't know how your city is where you're watching this, but in our city, there's never been anyone flow like this. Mm-hmm. We pretty much have broke the ground, set the record. But this is how God called us. We didn't make this happen. And so this is how we flow. And so it's been different. And anything that's different will be persecuted. And yeah, we have been persecuted. But listen, you don't mess with my wife. And I had to call a pastor up one time that I found out was in his pulpit, was calling my wife's name. And I called him up and I said, listen, that's going to stop, and it's going to stop right now. You know, I'm saved, but sometimes I'm not as sanctified as I as I need to be. And so you got to be that support system, and you got to empower your wife.
And you know what he said, Bill, you know how we was raised.
Yeah, badly. You know, I said, yeah, you were raised wrong, and it's time to repent and get on the right
move
side.
On. You know, friends, I just really have come to this revelation recently. You know, there's just not enough Christians to go around for us to be picky with each other.
Exactly.
And the days are short. Jesus is coming back. We got to get on the same team. We need to stop talking about each other and figure out how we can talk more about Jesus.
Amen.
And get the gospel out with power and authority and anointing. And, you know, the first time God said something wasn't good in his creation, he's like, okay, I made this, it's good. Made this, it's good. Made this, it's good. Made this, it's good. Everything's good. And then he goes, whoa, not good for man to be alone. First time he said something wasn't good. And he said, I'm going to bring him somebody who can be that helper. And he made human 2.0. I don't know a creator in the world who creates something worse than the original. They always want to upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. We're not still using the same iPhones. Mm-hmm. They always upgrade it, right? Yeah. And so female is the upgrade, human 2.0. Right. And for those men out there who are not empowering their spouse to work with them, you are missing out. It is not good for you to work alone. Bill, weigh in on that, please.
Yeah. I mean, there's power. There's power in when we become one. I mean, why are you trying to do something? God gave us both the dream. It's not my dream. It's not her dream. God gave us the dream. Here's what I hear to really feel this in the spirit to tell you. Be you. I mean, don't try to be somebody else. We don't need another Rod Parsley. We got one. We don't need another Oral Roberts. He's in heaven. We don't need a T.D. Jakes. Be who God has made you. And if you're a couple that God has called together to flow, man, celebrate your differences. Dare to be different. Rise above what anybody would say. That's how you're going to expand. That's how you're going to touch the world. Not trying to be somebody else or, well, you know, most churches, the wife sits on the front row and looks pretty. Well, you're not most churches. Glory to God. God made you an original. Don't try to be a clone. Just be you.
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor Sharon, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, you know what, Pastor, as we sit here and thinking about it, I've seen churches, and it's okay if most churches are predominantly women.
That's right.
It's okay if they sing in the choir. It's okay if they teach Sunday school. It's okay if, you know, they walk around and speak. But God, that gifting, that calling that God has put in your life, don't shun it, because there come a day that you've got to stand before the King of Glory and you've got to give an account for everything that you did. And you know what? I'd rather receive the persecution of man than stand before God and him not say, well done.
Yep.
And he just said, I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, you've done well. It might have been hard. It might have been tough. But you know what, Pastor Daniel, I think God, especially as we pastor, you know, now let me say this as a woman, as our family, he is the head of our family. And consequently, in the church, he's the senior pastor. There come times that he may make a decision I don't agree with. But then that's where submission comes in. And so I don't get up in front of the church and, you know, snap my fingers for him to move. Even as we're working one in one, I still understand he's the senior pastor. I'm right there with him, you know, and you might say, well, that's conflicting. It's not, though, because we're so one in the spirit. And I just say, you know, if you're a woman and you're dominating, you might need to pull back a minute and say, wait a minute, we're on the same playing field. It's not I'm up here and he's way down here. We're on the same playing field. Now, if you're the woman pastor, that's a whole nother podcast, Pastor Daniel. Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But I'm saying if you're working right here together, you're working in that unity and God is pleased and God will bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's important that the strength, your strength is when you're one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God made women. And this is what I have experienced now in 37 years of ministry. God, it looks like women are more sensitive to the Spirit of God. I mean, I believe that. That doesn't mean a man can't be sensitive to the Spirit of God, but women just have an intimacy in the Spirit. And so even though we're both strong, and sometimes we have lengthy discussions. Can I hear an amen?
Lengthy.
And we have some
challenges.
Hallelujah.
I respect the sensitivity to the Spirit of God that she has. I know God created her that way. And so even if we're maybe not in agreement over something, man, I want her impartation. I want her input. And I've had times when I felt so strong about something, but after talking to her, you know what I realized? I was wrong. There's something, you know, men don't like to say. I was wrong.
And, you know, and wives, let me just say this to you. There'll be times that he brings something to the table. And I immediately don't feel that's God. And God will say, be quiet. Yeah. Be quiet and pray. And so, Pastor Daniel, I'll go in my prayer closet and I'll say, God, you know, because it might just be a really good idea. And I mean, it might be a God thing, but now's not the season. So I'll go and pray and just ask God to show him. And I'll keep my mouth shut and let God show him. I think sometimes some of the pastors that we've dealt with, that both women or men are in ministry, she's like this all the time. You know, always, and I've had to encourage, be quiet. You know how to pray. You know how to hear God. So pull back and watch God. Let God do it. Because the change that he needs to come from God, not a barking, biting, complaining, murmuring, you know, in your face woman, but that God would say, no, this isn't the time, this isn't the season. And then he's come back. And I mean, there's been times that's worked and other times that I've had to say, I really don't think that's God. And there'll be a little conflict there. And then we'll say, you know what, let's put this on the table. Let's put it on the shelf for a little bit and let's both pray and ask God. And there's times I'm wrong. There's times that I didn't feel like that's what we should do. And he went forward and I was wrong. So sometimes you can get your feelings mixed in there. Maybe it's because you've done it before and had a bad outcome. You don't want to do it again. So the key, Pastor Daniel, and it just seems so simplistic, but it's prayer.
Yeah.
It's what is God speaking to us in prayer.
That's right.
No, that's so good. There's an old parable that says something to the effect of, when a lion walks in the room, he doesn't have to announce that he's a lion. Right. But when a chihuahua walks in the room, it wants to convince you that he's a lion.
Everybody. Right? You know,
yeah, that's good.
And so are you a chihuahua convincing everybody that you're a lion, or are you a lion and you just walk with authority? And there was a time in my life, I'll admit, it was, and I've grown a lot since then. But as a young leader in my 20s, there was a time when I thought, you know, I couldn't work for a woman. Just thought that. No, maybe it was my upbringing in Middle Tennessee. Maybe it was just my own pride. But whatever the case was, there was a time in my life when I thought, you know, if I saw a female lead pastor, I don't know that I could work for her, or a lady at the head of an organization, I don't know that I could work for her. And as the Holy Spirit has grown my understanding of Scripture and my understanding of leadership, and my understanding of anointing, I can honestly say before the Lord, I follow leadership. I follow anointing.
Good.
And be it a woman, be it a man, there have been times I've gone on mission trips, especially into Latin America, and I'll find in some obscure village a female lead pastor, and we'll be talking. And I remember one conversation, she said, well, there weren't any men around to do this, so what's God going to do? You know, and so I just want to say to that young leader who may be struggling with a battle with the sexes, so to speak, you know, don't follow culture, follow anointing, follow leadership, and look for I was speaking with another lady who does a lot of ministry with her husband in India. And India is a very male-led culture. Mm-hmm. And but when she comes, they ask her to come to the platform. And she said she hadn't had to say a thing. She didn't try to force herself. They recognized the leadership and the anointing on her life. And they ask her every time she goes to India, preach for us, impart unto mm-hmm. us. Awesome. And we really need to move past the lines. Like I said, we don't have time to worry about male, female. And I would love for y'all to react to that.
Yeah, well, I had the Lord actually speak to me several years ago. And gosh, this was probably 20 plus years ago. And he said, son, the number one assignment on your life is to make sure this woman of God fulfills her assignment.
Amen.
And you know, the word says what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. And so with the things, you know, I'm my calling is to preach. My calling is to establish churches. My calling is to teach and preach leadership and to help pastors. But my number one calling is to make sure she fulfills her assignment. And so all of my faith, all of my resources, anything is poured. Because see, as she fulfills her assignment, my assignment's going to be fulfilled. And so it's not this bucking each other. I love what you said, man, we're in the last days. And anybody that don't believe we're in the last days, you haven't prayed lately and you don't know what's going on. I mean, this thing is wrapping up quick. There's a harvest out there we've got to reach. There's people that are going to hell if they don't hear the gospel. And we're sitting around talking about, I don't think women ought to preach. Man, get a brain. I mean, everybody ought to be preaching, man. Children, the Bible says children will prophesy. I mean, we're in the time. I love what you said. We don't have time for this.
Yeah.
This is foolishness. This is children. This is, you know, it's kind of like prejudice. We don't have time for prejudice. We, you know, prejudice is a learned art. You got to be taught to be prejudiced. You wasn't born that way. And so I love what you said. It's time to get on with the kingdom. It's time to do what God has called us to do. And it's time for you, husband, pastor, male pastor, find out the assignment on your wife and do everything you can to empower her to fulfill that assignment.
And pastor, I do the same thing. You know, God told me years ago, help him, assist him, push him, promote him, you know, and in doing so, I'll bless you. And so we do that with our church people too. I asked God one day, I said, as a pastor, what's my number one job? He said, to make sure your people are fulfilling their gift and call.
Yep.
He said, if you'll do that, then I'll bless the church. And so, and I as you're talking, the Lord said to explain this one thing. I have a good friend, her husband passed away just several years ago. And so she became the lead pastor. And it wasn't something she ever wanted to do, but it was something she stepped into that call. And so maybe you're a woman in an area and you're lead pastor, and just like that woman in India, know your area. And some areas, pastor, are a little more liberal. You go out into the Texas area and they're used to women leading corporations and administrative, and you know, they're used to that, no big deal. But then you come into a little small rural area and they're not as used to it. So she's more in a kind of medium area. And she said, Pastor Sharon, she said, I put good, strong men around me, because, you know, the focus a lot of time is we're in a male dominated society. And so she said, I put a lot of good men around me. When I went and preached for her, the men got up and opened up and they did Bible and they did, you know, the offering. And then they even introduced me at the very end. She got up and she exhorted. And she said, Pastor Sharon, I know who I am. I know my place. I know my position. Mm-hmm. I don't intimidate them. They don't intimidate me. They're not trying to be me. I'm not trying to be them. So I just say, if you are a woman pastor somewhere, you know, get good, strong people around you, and don't have so many people, Pastor Daniel, they have that dogmatic, woman of God, nobody wants to hear that dogmatic. Mike Murdoch said one time, if you learn how to talk to a man, you'll never be without one. I'm going to say that again. If you learn how to talk to a man, you'll never be without one. We have a lot of strong men in our church. I mean, we have more than the average church has males. I mean, we are full of males, but I know how to talk to them. I don't bark at them. I don't tell, you better go, you better do. No, I say things like, would you mind helping me? Would you mind, could you do this for me? Or what do you think? And so I make sure I understand. I have three boys, Pastor Daniel. I've had to learn how to talk to men. And my 22-year-old right now is doing our TV. And, you know, sometimes if I speak to him wrongly, he'll kind of give me that look. And I realize, uh-oh, you know, even though he's my son, he's still a male. And so women, know how to talk to men. Don't get that haughty, you know, I'm in charge, so y'all gonna listen to me. But learn how to gather men around you to help you, and it will help your ministry.
Yeah, I would say don't try to change your wife and don't try to change your husband. Man, God is doing something great in them. Just kind of go with it, flow. You know, I think when we first got in ministry, I probably was guilty of a little bit of that. You know, maybe she ought to be like Gloria Copeland, or she ought to be like,
don't do that.
You know, yeah. And so, but the Lord taught me really early, you know what, let her, she's unique. You're yeah. unique. Let your spouse be the way God has called yes. them to be, yes. and flow with it instead of flowing against Amen. It. And I'll tell you, the rewards are awesome.
Amen.
What you guys are describing ultimately is not just a good ministry marriage, but good marriage. You're describing good biblical marriage where one is mutually working together to support the other and to submit to the other's needs, and to really live for the other's success. And that took some time, no doubt, for you. And I think this would be a great way to conclude our conversation. Was there a season in your life, in your marriage, when these truths weren't as clear to you? And how did you, come to these understandings that have made you a success?
Yeah, I think as you grow, I think I started out our conversation this way, but you've got to be strong in the Lord. You've got to have a relationship with God. And let me speak to the men. As you grow spiritually, as you grow in your walk with God, in your walk of faith, walk in the Word, you know, she don't do my Bible reading for me. She don't do my praying for me. As you grow, it's amazing how our perspective on things changes the closer we get to the Lord. And so I think the key has been spiritual growth, because when we first got started, I mean, you know, I didn't know half of what I know now. I'm sure she didn't either. We were growing spiritually. And, but we loved each other and we loved God. Now that'll go a long way. The Bible says love conquers all. And if you should, let me give you a little advice. Don't marry somebody you don't love. I mean, that really don't work out really good. In fact, don't even marry somebody you don't like.
Good advice.
You got to like them and you got to love them.
Come on now. There's a difference.
There is a difference. And so I think you can answer that yourself. I think spiritual growth, as I grew, it's amazing how I came more in line with what God was doing in my wife's life.
Yeah. And, you know, Pastor, we have, as women, we have fairy tale ideas. And I think we do our children a disservice in school. We don't teach them how to balance a checkbook, how to do a budget, and we don't teach them relationship. And, you know, we're so involved in teaching them their ABCs and their math that we don't teach them how to live. Even when they get in college, we really don't teach them how to live. And so then we're thrown out. Now, we got married. You were 28 and I was 25. So we waited a little later than the average person. We weren't 19. We waited. So, but still at that, we have this fairy tale. We're not educated on and we're paralleling it with our parents, which typically isn't all that awesome either. So, you know, we had hiccups when we first got married because I just had envisioned, this awesome, everything was perfect. And then you start having children and, children will not unite you. You know, I hear these people, we could just have a child, we would be closer. Sweetheart, no.
Oh, you don't even know you're saved till you have kids. I mean, you're not even sure you're saved.
You will get the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues really quick once you have children. And so, Pastor Daniel, I have to admit, I had a lot of hiccups. And so I read books like His Needs, Her Needs, The Five Love Languages. I would listen, to YouTube messages just to help me understand him. He was a male. I mean, and there are differences. And if we don't understand those differences, and, he needed me to love on him, to embrace him, to lift him up and give words of encouragement. And I didn't grow up that way. I grew up with not words of encouragement. And so when he would like, you know, is this okay? And I couldn't say things like, oh, you know, that was good. You did a good job. I didn't know how to say you did a good job. And that seemed so simple, but in the atmosphere. And so the Lord taught me, I used to put my hand on his shoulder and I would say, you're a good man. That's all I knew how to say. You're a good man. I loved him. I believed it, but I didn't know how to speak it. And so I got into books. I got into listening to marriage, how to make marriage strong. And I began to say, you know, I love you. You're a good man. That was an awesome message. You're a good father. You know, you're a good husband. I can say all that today. Pastor Daniel, 25 years ago, I couldn't say those things, you know, and vice versa. There were things he didn't realize. I needed my hand held and I needed that touch of affirmation, you know, that loving touch. And I mean, he'd just go about his day. And if I got one touch, I was blessed. Right. And now I can't keep his hands off of me, you know.
Hey, that's a different podcast, guys. Come on.
Podcast number two.
Hey, we're gonna mute the camera.
We're gonna mute it.
We were just getting ready to have some fun. So.
All right.
You know, but we learned this: a good marriage will produce a good church.
Amen.
And a lot of pastors are committing adultery today, but the mistress is the church.
Ooh.
And I was guilty of that in the early days. The church had more of my love than my wife. And I began to learn that won't work.
That's not going to fly. Yeah.
That's another day. Another.
Yeah.
Message.
Well,
another
I message. Would love, and I think we should have a part two, because that's a big deal. What you just said. You know, I think that we need to maybe land the plane for now. This has been an incredibly rich time together. You guys have really poured out some truths that we need to process. We need to apply. And I want to say this before we go, Pastor Motley, what you were describing there, Sharon, when you were saying I was reading books and talking to folks and, you know, there's a word for that, right? It's called humility. You know, there's a humbleness, there's a teachability, a meekness, right?
Yes.
And, you know, the Bible said a meek person's going to inherit the earth. Well, a meek person will inherit a good marriage, a good ministry. If you're a learner, right? If you understand, yep, you've got to grow. And that's what it means to be meek. It means to be a learner, a discipler, or a person who's willing to grow, a person who recognizes they don't know it all. And let me tell you, if you're a 20-something, if you're a 30-something, a 40-something, I don't care how old you are, you don't know it all, right? And we got to be keep growing. We got to keep learning. And that's what this podcast has really been all about. And so I greatly appreciate your time, and I hope we can do it again someday. I would like us to end the way we began, with Pastor Bill and Pastor Sharon closing us out in prayer. And please take a moment, both of you, let the Holy Spirit lead you. But I'd love for you to just pray for those ministry couples out there listening today.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Father, I just pray right now for every couple, every ministry couple. Jesus. Lord, you know what they're dealing with. You know what season of their life they're going through right now. And we just pray that something has been said these last few moments. I mean, one word from you, Master, changes everything. Father, you gave them a dream, and that dream must become a vision. That vision must become a plan, and that plan must become an action. But God, they're going to do it together. They're not going to do it separately. I speak to their marriage. I speak to their ministry. Yes. I speak to the call of God on their life. Yes. And I thank you. They are going higher. They're entering a season of going higher. Some have been stuck. I hear the Spirit of God say, you feel like you're stuck. You feel like your church is stuck. You feel like your marriage is stuck. Mm. Well, the anointing destroys every yoke right now, and I decree and declare you're not stuck anymore. This is a new day, and it's a new season, and there's been a new impartation, and I thank you. You are rising above every situation, every circumstance. Your ministry, there's greatness on the inside of you. There's more in you than you've ever imagined. There's more on the inside of you, man of God, you woman of God, than you've ever seen. And as you come together in that covenant and become one, all things are going to begin to manifest in your life, in Jesus' name.
There's a pastor that's watching us right now, and you're so perplexed in your spirit because you want your wife to do all this and you want her to be all that. And she's not. She's quiet, but she loves you and supports you. And the Lord said to tell you today, don't push her into areas that she's not called, because you'll push her into something and she'll fall and she'll fail, and then your marriage will fail. And so the Lord said, let her be your support.
Yes.
Let her be that at-home wife. Let her hold you and gird you up with the children, and let her be on that end of it, and stop looking for her to be something that's big and bold. And the Lord said, if I call her to that, I'll do that, not you.
Yes.
And so be at peace, man of God, be at peace. And then there's a woman watching me, and you're saying in your heart, I can't do that. I can't do that. But you know, and the Lord said to remind you that even as a child, he called you. And this is so specific. I see when you were a child, you had a vision of standing upon a little Coke box, and you were preaching to the nations, and you were preaching out to people. And the Lord said that through the years, because you've been put down, because you've been cast down, you've lost that vision. But I heard the Lord say, pick the vision back up, pick the vision back up, and run with it. Start where you are. Just do what you need to do and watch what God's going to do. In Jesus' name, I speak to every woman listening to me. Be who God called you to be. Be strengthened in your inner man. Be the voice, be the call, whatever that is. Be all that God has called you to be. Be anointed and do the work of the ministry.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, today for it. We praise you. We thank you for this time. Bless Pastor Daniel, his wife, his church,
bless
and all that
ministry.
They do, Lord.
Them,
let them bind together, one mind, one spirit, and one accord.
Thank
and we give you glory and honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Wow. Wow. Praise God. I'm just kind of basking in the anointing here. And I just want to take a chance as Pastor Sharon was praying there, and she mentioned a Coke box, and then you said like almost like a soap box where you're standing out in a field and you're using it to elevate yourself so you can proclaim to a group in a field. And as she said, pick up the vision again. I want to speak to that person. I want you to go today at your earliest convenience, and you need to go find a box that says Coca-Cola on it and put it in your office, go pick it up as a sign of faith, where you're just saying, I'm picking this back up and I'm going to put it somewhere where I can see it.
Amen.
In my living room, in my office at home, wherever it is, go get that Coca-Cola box and put it somewhere where you can see it.
Amen.
And just as a daily reminder, I'm picking this vision back up and I'm ready, Lord, whenever you say go, I'll go. And just let that be a reminder. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to say that. And hopefully, we'll hear some email someday or some phone call or something.
Amen.
Send us a message and let us know that was for me. But man, I'm excited for this podcast and what God has prophetically spoken to ministry leaders, couples, men and women who are truly called of God in these days to usher in the coming of our Lord.
Amen.
And so I'm so thankful to the Motley crew. I just want to say, Sister Sharon, you got the best hair on TV, and your husband's trying to catch up, but he hasn't quite gotten there.
That's right.
he's got party in the front, party in the back.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
It's
a Holy Ghost party, brother.
Holy Ghost party. And, I think Moses was his hairdresser. He split it down the middle, right?
Right
down the middle. They're walking across on dry ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah. if there's no video, if they're just listening to the podcast, they can't appreciate these jokes.
Exactly.
But anyway,
that's right.
We appreciate you guys so much. Let's do this
again
in God's timing.
Amen.
We love you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.